A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
This is Hanson Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is The Starting Lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Starting Lineup brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Well, Hans, it's a new sheriff in town for the Utah Jazz, introduced officially earlier today on a press conference heard live right here on the KSL Sports Zone. Will Hardy is the man.
I like the presser. He's straightforward. He's no BS. You can tell that he's going to be very direct. He did say that I want the media to get to know me before we really get into this season, and I want my players to get to know me before we really get into doing these things. But this guy is successful because he's driven, and his delivery is just very driven. There's no politicizing. There is no you know putting the pistols up and hey guys,
yeah,
how's everybody doing and trying to appease a room. It's you guys are going to like me or hate me based off what I do in coaching.
Yeah.
So let's just get this out of the way. Thanks for having me. I got to get to work.
There was and I think Ben Anderson put a little bit of it out on Instagram. But after the main press conference, there was kind of a side presser with some of the beat writers. I jumped in on it, and you know, there's probably about 8 or 9 of us kind of huddled around Coach. And I will say that he was a lot looser in that. He did crack a smile once or twice. And so I do think that he's 34. He's never done a lot of press before. And so I do think he was wound a little tight for that official press conference, which, fine, I don't care. I mean, we always talk about, did he win or lose a press conference? Nobody cares.
Yeah,
It's about winning and losing games.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I don't care about his performance in a press conference. But if you think he is, like, that's who he is, I do think he was I do think he's very buttoned up. I do think he's very driven. He's very intense. But he did loosen up a little bit in that off-camera presser.
Well, it'll be interesting just to see what he's like on the court with this team. Another thing I thought while I was listening to it and kind of going through that press conference, introducing him, and you can disagree with me on this. Maybe there's a lot of people that disagree with me on this, but it became very apparent to me that this was not a hire that was made for Donovan Mitchell.
No.
This was a hire that was made for a direction. This was a hire that was made by a new CEO of the Utah Jazz in effort with the new owner of the Utah Jazz. But it was not made to, okay, we just got to appease our star. The one all-star that we're going to be keeping or that we're thinking about keeping at this point when they were hiring him, we just got to make sure that we appease that guy. So that in a year or 2 years when things are getting a little bit more difficult and he's pressuring a little bit, he feels happy with the coach.
Yeah.
I don't feel like this hire was that. I felt like this hire was, we'll hire our guy. This guy is going to be direct. If he fits with Donovan, good. If he butts head with Donovan, then we'll see where Donovan's at that point, and we'll make a decision going forward. Which leads me to the other point that I had when I was going through this interview, this press conference. Thinking about the him or me situation. Because head coach, let's say you get 2 years below 500, missed the postseason a couple years, and your superstar is very unhappy. And he is starting to lean into it a little bit. It's the him or me. It's the coach or the player.
Yeah.
It's who goes. And it really always comes back to the player. It always comes back to the player. You're going to keep the all-star. You're going to move the coach out. You're going to keep the all-star. That's just the name of the game. It's just how it goes. But, this is my theory. You have to back him and make it feel like these next 2 years, if it's a him or me, it's going to be a him. In order to get, because I can tell that he's a bit of an authoritarian.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if I'm going to get those 17 guys, and specifically the three or four on the court that are making the big difference, to buy in, to believe in, and to execute for, there's a certain amount of backing that when somebody comes to complain to me about him, where I say, you probably ought to shut your mouth and work harder. You probably ought to get yourself to work. Oh, really? You think so? Because I've only got a year and a half. I've got 2 years left on this thing. That's how you're going to treat me? That's going to be a really interesting line to walk. Danny Ainge has to back Will Hardy as if it's Will and nobody else, so that Will can really impose his will.
I know you. I give you an A for effort. Like, I do that all the time. You're like halfway through, you're like, oh, there's no other way to go here. So let's just jump in. So I think there's a big message, and the Jazz haven't publicly announced this, at least that I know of. Maybe they have, but they made sure to leak it to enough people that it was well known. Normally, coaches, especially first-time head coaches in the NBA, get a 4-year contract. Will Hardy got a 5-year contract, and I don't think that wasn't a coincidence. I think there's a couple things you need to read into it. Number one, I think that's a message to Donovan Mitchell saying, I mean, this guy can be around for a bit, and if we have to fire him, then we're going to have to pay him a lot. So we're going to think twice about firing him if it is a him or me conversation. And number two, we also let it be known that if we need to rebuild, he has our support. If we're just retooling, which we hope, he has our support. But if it's a full-fledged rebuild and Donovan Mitchell gets traded, then he still has our support. The one thing I think is really interesting, and there's this narrative out there, and I wanted to dispel this, and I think this conversation leads into that, is that there's a Rudy lost, Donovan won kind of conversation. That it came to a head between the two of them, and Rudy lost and got traded, and now it's Donovan's team. And the team is, and I've heard this phrase, they're building around Donovan Mitchell. And I think that's a little bit of a mistake, because I don't think this team is going all in and saying, okay, Donovan Mitchell is going to be our superstar, and we're going to do everything to make him happy so he'll be here for the next 10 years. If anything, what the Jazz did was set the market and let the rest of the NBA know, if you want Donovan Mitchell, this is what Minnesota gave up for Rudy. That's now the asking price for Donovan Mitchell, is a whole slew of picks and a whole slew of players. So the Jazz not only set the market on Donovan Mitchell, but they also, I think, are saying to themselves, okay, we're going to let this new coach work with Donovan, and we're going to give it a year. And if it works, then great. But if it doesn't work, don't make any assumption that we won't trade this guy at any given moment, whether he asks for it or whether we decide to go in that direction. This isn't a Donovan Mitchell is the building block of the future of the Utah Jazz. I think the Jazz are realizing that he is a talent. He's a really great player, but also knowing the deficiencies in height at 6'1", the defensive deficiencies that he's shown and have progressively gotten worse over the last several years. The Jazz are very well aware of that, I'm sure. And if needs be, they are willing to cut ties with Donovan Mitchell, because you got a head coach. You just gave a 5-year contract. If he needs to rebuild this thing, they'll go that route. If Donovan Mitchell decides to commit himself to defense and commit himself to this team, then they'll proceed with that as well. But don't make it this narrative out there that the Jazz are all in on Donovan Mitchell for, and they are mortgaging their future like Houston did with James Harden, or some of these other cases where this where individual players had complete control of the team and left them high and dry, mm-hmm. the Jazz will be ready to cut ties with Donovan Mitchell if they see fit. And if it needs be, they need to do that, then I think they're more than prepared. And frankly, I think, honestly, this might not be the right phrase, but the Jazz, I think, are almost even daring Donovan Mitchell to demand a trade. And daring's not the right word, but they're like, look, we didn't hire your coach. We're hiring a 34-year-old wonder kid that we're really high on. We got rid of your BFFs. And frankly, I don't know if the Jazz even told him about it. But they're like, look, this is the direction we're going. You can be a part of it, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. But that doesn't mean that you are going to be the fixture of this franchise, and we're mortgaging everything to make you happy.
So what's the option there? If I'm Donovan Mitchell, it's to get back into the weight room. It's to get back on the court. It's to fall a bit in line with what this new coach is asking, trying to fit into it, and trying to become better, trying to find a way for whatever he's bringing to the Jazz to make me better. So if I'm Donovan, I'm kind of looking at this as an opportunity not to reinvent myself, but to better myself. If Donovan takes it the right way with everything that Will Hardy is bringing, all this knowledge that he's bringing from all these past coaches that he's been around, and coming from Boston, the team that just made it to the NBA Finals, if I'm Donovan, I'm actually excited.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled. And it can't be in the back of my mind of, well, if this guy starts getting hard, we'll see who can push harder. We'll see when push comes to shove. We'll see if he wants to. I don't think Donovan's doing that. I actually think I'm hoping that Donovan's excited about this. I'm hoping that he feels a bit refreshed. I'm hoping that he's not just sitting there kind of stewing in things of, well, I can't believe they got rid of. I can't believe that they did Eric Pascal that way.
Yeah.
I can't believe that this happened this way. I'm hoping that he's looking at it saying, this is my bright new future, and this is my opportunity. And I'm hoping that he's calling Jason Tatum and saying, Jason, how'd you work with this guy? How forceful is he? What is he doing? And you got to always think on the flip side of this. Coaches build an idea of all-stars. This coach has now seen and worked with and worked around enough all-stars to understand what their personalities are like, how different, and they're all quite a bit different. But he has a really good understanding of not just working with Jason Tatum, of how a player that truly wants to grow needs to act. So when he shows up and they go through their first camp together and they start really learning who each other is, he's got a lot of experience to draw on of thinking back to himself of, oh, this is the way that Tim Duncan handled this, and this is the way that Manu Ginobili handled this, and this is the way Jason Tatum and Brown did this when everything was things were looking bleak for us, and I'm hoping that Donovan and Will Hardy can really mesh. I'm hoping they mesh. My instincts tell me that it's not going to be a perfect mesh. But my hope is if they do decide, I'm going to shut my mouth and listen, and I am going to coach my butt off and be as understanding as I can, I think that these two could be really good for each other. I think that Will Hardy and Donovan Mitchell could be really good for each other if they can put everything aside and say, let's make each other better.
Donovan Mitchell can be very good for Will Hardy, and I think Will Hardy can be very good for Donovan Mitchell.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
But there's also in the back of my mind of, oh, man, you know, one wrong statement or one, you know, just Donovan expresses some type of anger or concern about a play or a particular set, or he's in the middle of a game and something is presenting itself and Coach Hardy is giving him the signals and Donovan calls it off and moves in a different direction and then is upset because he didn't see. I don't want that conflict to get toxic.
Yeah.
I want that conflict to be conducive to growth. And it can. And you know, I'm trying to think. I think more of me believes that it will be than it will be toxic. More of me believes that they're going to find a way to coexist together.
Yeah. I would agree. I think especially early on. Absolutely.
Early on, for sure.
Yeah. But what happens in February when you've lost 6 out of 8 and you're right there on the 8 seed and you're holding on for dear life?
Well, that'll be the real indicator of this front office is how they fueled Donovan,
yeah,
the pieces around him.
Yeah.
So Donovan could be pleased or displeased with this new head coach, but if you're putting this new rebuild crowd around him, you know, if he's basically looking at the personnel that you just got in the big move, then I'm sure he's going to be shaking his head thinking, wait a second, what are your intentions here? And that could be really frustrating for him. And that could compound things with a coach. You know, if you're looking at your teammates like, so we're just going to roll with the guys that Minnesota sent over here, huh? Huh. All right. And by the way, I'm just using this as a...
No, I think it's accurate.
So those things can definitely affect the way Donovan Mitchell reacts to Coach Hardy as well.
Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Thanks for making us part of your day. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, David Locke will join us coming up at 1:05. We'll revisit that Will Hardy press conference coming up at 2:05. And, well, because Hans and I are on the air, we fully anticipate we'll have some breaking news as well, just because that's what's gone on the last week and a half. Hans and Scotty, hope you're having a great Tuesday. 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.